His speech was given at the White House Conference on Africa, held in Washington in June of last year. The speaker is Wangari Maathai. She is coordinator of the Green Belt Movement. The Honorable Al Gore, Vice President of the United States of America. Congressmen and Congresswomen, distinguished participants. I wish to record my deep appreciation for the honor and the warm invitation to participate in this meeting, particularly in this setting. I believe that this meeting represents a genuine concern for Africa and her people, and I am sure that many will welcome the hope this initiative represents. They will also follow whatever tangible commitments it will generate. Peace and security are a prerequisite for development, and all human beings long for and deserve peace and security. They also long for happiness and a quality of life devoid of poverty. For the last three decades, many African states have hardly enjoyed internal peace and security. Oppression and the prevalent culture of fear and silence gave a semblance of peace, which was used to minimize the outcry of citizens in many countries, which some sectors of the world portrayed as peaceful, secure, and prosperous. But those were the days of the Cold War, and misrepresentation was part of the war. The Cold War, though, was hot in Africa. It precipitated some of the most devastating internal wars as African friends and foes of the superpowers fought for economic and political control. It also justified political and economic oppression and violation of human rights in many countries, a trend which did not end with the end of the Cold War. Human and material resources were diverted towards these wars and internal security of states, rather than towards human development. The other reason why human-centered development was ignored was the style of leadership. During this period, dictatorial leaders who were unpopular with their citizens received huge military aid and built up massive armies, police forces, and an equally huge network of secret services, whose main preoccupation was, and still is, to spy on their own citizens. In many African states, including the one I know best, Kenya, citizens have become prisoners within their own borders. The preoccupation with internal security and political survival of leaders misdirected scarce resources and sacrificed the agenda for human development for decades. It also encouraged leaders to make changes in national constitutions to give themselves absolute powers and control over all national resources and mechanisms of governance, such as radio, television, the judicial system, the civil service, the armed forces, and elections, all of which were originally intended to provide checks and balances and prevent dictatorial tendencies. All these mechanisms are heavily controlled, manipulated, misused, and censored by heads of state. Many of the current African leaders enjoy immense power and control, and indeed run states as if they were their personal property. They have invented divisive and manipulative tactics, such as the ongoing politically motivated tribal clashes in Kenya, in order to stay in power. The tribal clashes are also presented as age-old tribal animosities, which are coming to the fore because of political liberalisation. This too is a misrepresentation. This is not to say that ethnicity is non-existent, or that Africa will not have to address the problems of identity and nationalism, especially with respect to the very unnatural nature of African nations. But the tribal agenda today has to do less with the problems of identity and more with the issue of political and economic control of national resources.